Turn with me back in your Bibles to John chapter 13, and I want us to... We've looked at something of the fall of Peter, that great apostle. He says, the Lord says of Peter, Peter says to the Lord in verse 37, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What's the place? Him. Don't you love those three verses? They are probably some of the most comforting verses in all the scriptures, aren't they? Don't let your heart be troubled. Your sin is grievous. Your sin is public. Your sin is completely inexcusable in any way, shape or sense. Your sin is exposed before men. Imagine if your sins were written down in this book. For all the world to see, for the rest of time, and yet the promise of God is, don't let your heart be troubled. The promise of God is that when you are turned by my grace and my mercy, when you're turned back to me, you're going to strengthen your brethren. I'm just so thankful that the gospel is a gospel of comfort to the children of God. That's what it is, isn't it? We have a gospel that declares comfort. I have a command from God, and so does Norm and others who preach on God's behalf. We have a command from God. You comfort my people. You comfort my people. You tell them that their warfare is over. You tell them that they will receive double from the Lord for all of their sins. You comfort them. The first words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he preached in Nazareth was in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Peter was made to be very poor that night. He was stripped of all righteousness, wasn't he? He was stripped of anything in himself. He said, I will, and he was stripped of his I will. He was stripped of all of his good deeds. He was left naked and destitute as a leprous sinner before the almighty sovereign power of God Almighty. Poor. Anyone poor here? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. See, a broken heart is not a heart that's not working very well. A broken heart's a dead heart. A broken heart's a heart that doesn't work at all. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. If you do not have a real living, breathing, God-given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're captive. And the greatest captivity in the world is a captivity of people who don't know they're captive. The greatest captivity is a captivity of those who think they're free. The greatest captivity of is the captivity of those who can still say, I will. Look what I have done. It's terrible captivity, isn't it? Satan is a liar and a murderer. So the first thing he does to you is lie. He lies about who you are, and he lies about who God is. And most of all, he'll lie, and he continues to lie throughout this world, about who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what happened on the cross. If you want to find out what Satan's lies are, just go and examine what religion is saying about the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. He sent me to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of the sight to the blind. The blind. They can't see. They can't see who God is, and they can't see who they are. It's the one messianic miracle in all the scriptures, is the healing of the blind. One thing that was reserved for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did it regularly, and he did it on a Sabbath, and he did it in such a public way that the Jews would be openly offended by him doing it. And if they opened their Bibles up, they would have seen that five times in the book of Isaiah, it's a messianic miracle. And that's exactly what we need, isn't it? We are blind. We're blind to who we are. We're blind to who God is. We're blind to what his word says. And we need the recovery of true sight and to set at liberty them that are bruised, them that are crushed. Has life crushed you? Have your sins crushed you? Are there any beggars? Are there any broken-hearted? Are there any captives? Are there any blind? Are there any bruised? I've got good news for all of those people. And for any who have something in themselves and they've got some I wills and I do and I've done, I'm sorry, out throughout the word of God, when the brokenhearted come to the Lord Jesus Christ begging for mercy, 100% of them go away having received it. When the righteous come to the Lord Jesus Christ with their righteousness, 100% of them are sent away by God. And he never chases them up, ever. Oh, what a mercy it is to be brokenhearted. What a mercy it is for God to crush us. So here we have, as we close, I'll just, and I head off to India. We've had the word of promise from the Lord Jesus Christ and the word of pride from Peter. And we've had the word of humbling and the act of humbling. You're going to deny me three times. And here we have these words of comfort. What glorious words of comfort. See, what's the Lord's solution to the problem of humanity, broken humanity? He preaches the gospel to them again and again. The Lord Jesus Christ came as a gospel preacher. In fact, in Mark chapter 1, there's a great crowd of people that need healing. And he turns away from them. He says, I'm not sent to do that. I'm sent here to preach. And he goes off and preaches the gospel. He preached the gospel to Peter. Peter declares the error of all the religion of man is I will. There is something that I can do to get myself right with God, and there's something that I must begin, there's something I must continue, and there's something I must do of myself. And the Lord declares, the Lord Jesus Christ declares the fall of that awful work of men. But in the midst of it, he declares the glory of his works, isn't he? He says, you can't come where I'm going, but you're going to follow me hereafter. Where is he going? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to death. Psalm 16 says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. The great transaction of the cross is a transaction between God the Father and God the Son, as recorded and promised by God the Holy Spirit and applied by God the Holy Spirit to all of his people. He's saying to Peter, the sin that you have committed, I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. He took a cup in the garden. The Father gave him a cup. And in that cup were all the sins of all of God's children in this world. And the Father gave him the cup. The cup's in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not in the hands of his people. And the Lord Jesus Christ drank that cup, and he drank the dregs of that cup. And it's a picture of the fact that in the extraordinary event of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin. He had never sinned in himself, but when he took that cup and took that cup and drank that cup dry, all of the sins of all of God's people, according to God Almighty, were placed on him, including these horrible sins of Peter, including the most horrible sins that you have ever done. You, like me, have done and thought things which are so intensely embarrassing. If you knew of them, you would flee from here now because you're in the presence of such a wicked sinner. That's just what we are, brothers and sisters. One of the glories of the gospel, one of the glories of the restoration of the brokenhearted, is that Peter can now be an honest man. He can be honest with God. This is just what I am. And he can be honest with other people, can't he? And he can declare a gospel where all of the salvation, all of his people, is in the I wills of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you love the fact that Peter says, I will, and the Lord immediately makes that I will to seem like nothing, but when he says, I will, down there in verse 3, he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. These are the words of God Almighty. He's coming again to receive you unto myself. You're going to follow me, Peter. He says, I'm going to a place that you cannot come. He bore the infinite wrath of God, and you cannot go there. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is impossible for God to be holy and just and punish the sins of his people in the Lord Jesus Christ and ever punish them again. He will deny every attribute of himself if he ever does so. The sins of all of God's people are gone. Don't you want to love what Jeremiah 50 says? They will be sought for in that day. They'll be sought for and they will not be found. They're hidden behind his back. They have been buried. The Lord Jesus Christ went to a place. He says, I go to a place you cannot come. I go to do a work that you cannot do. You have absolutely nothing in yourself whatsoever to pay for one tiny little sin. One tiny little sin of a thought that no one else has ever seen. We have nothing to pay. We are beggars before God. He's come to pay a price that you cannot pay. He's come to satisfy a justice that you cannot satisfy by anything that you do whatsoever. He's come to bear and go to an infinite wrath that you cannot bear. It's extraordinary, isn't it? When we talk about the cross, we're talking about things that are just so beyond us. We're talking about an infinitely holy, infinitely sovereign, infinitely knowing God doing this to an infinitely holy, infinitely sovereign, infinitely knowing Son. And when he saw that cup in that garden this evening, he sweat great drops of blood. His heart was broken, according to Psalm 40, within him. And he says in so many places in the Old Testament, these are my sins. Such is the closeness and union of him with his bride that he owned her sins as his own, and he never committed them, but he paid the price for them. He's come to suffer the curse of a law, a broken law that you cannot bear. He's come to make a way to heaven that you cannot make. He's come to die a death that you cannot die. He's come to work a work of faithfulness that God accepts. He's come to weave a robe of righteousness to cover all of his bride. He's come. He's come that his bride might be with him. That's the goal, isn't it, of his coming? He says, I'm going. He says, let not your heart be troubled. What's the solution to a troubled heart? Verse 1, believe in God. Believe what he's just said. Believe what he says in his word. Pray that he'll give you the grace to believe. Where does faith come from? Faith is the gift of God. It's not of yourselves. So there's no boasting about my faith. But God gives it, and it is my faith. It is my faith. God gives it. Peter, this night, you're going to be exposed. You're going to be revealed as the sinner you really are. This night you'll receive a wound to your pride and your fleshly heart, and you'll be broken, and you'll be broken in such a way that only I can heal. I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. What was the difference between Judas and Peter that night? Both of them behaved in the most abominably wicked way. What's the difference? The only difference is the difference that the Lord Jesus Christ made. I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. Satan has asked permission to sift you. Satan says, he's mine, he's weak, he's impetuous, and I've got him. But I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you that your faith fail not believing God. See, Peter's courage failed. Peter's commitment failed. Peter's promises failed. Peter's flesh failed. Peter failed. And you would do exactly the same, and you do the exact same thing over and over again. But when all else fails, what God gives and what God promises holds true. These are the words of God Almighty. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. What God gives, God sustains and God maintains. Don't you love the gospel? Lord Jesus Christ does it all, and then he gives the faith to believe it all. And then at the end of it, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. It's glorious, isn't it? We have a glorious Saviour. This faith is the gift of God. We have nothing we can bring to God and nothing we can offer to God. I love what Hebrews 12 says. He says, you fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just turn there briefly with me in Hebrews chapter 12. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's the author. It means that he begins it. He's the origin. He's the active cause. Faith is the gift of God. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to reveal the object of faith and to give faith in it. He says, believe in me. And with his words come the power to do as he commands. He's the author. He's the finisher. That word finish means to accomplish, to bring to an end. He commands, love one another. He gives the power to obey. He says, believe. And he gives the power to believe. Peter failed, but what God gives can never fail. Peter walked out that night thinking that he was a lost man completely. And yet, Peter was told that when you are turned, you've turned back from this wicked I will pride that you have, you're going to strengthen your brethren, you're going to comfort them, you're going to establish them, you're going to come back to them, and you will, like all of God's servants, you will remind people that salvation is by grace. Salvation is the Lord Jesus, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation was won and wrought for us at the cross. All of the righteousness that I have before God is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the sin payment that I need for me to be washed clean and be in the presence of a holy God is all the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the glory of it is, isn't it, that God just doesn't leave it out there as something that we have to do. He comes and he applies it to the hearts of all of his people. He came to Peter, didn't he? He came to Peter. And I love on that resurrection morning in Mark chapter 16, he said, the angel said, and it may have been the Lord Jesus Christ, but certainly it was an angel there at the tomb on that resurrection morning. And he said, you go and tell the disciples and Peter. You go and tell Peter that he still is a disciple. He's now as loved by me as he was when he was sinning. Because God's love does not ever change. He's as accepted now as he was when he felt that he was cast off. Because our acceptance is in the Beloved, Ephesians 1. Our acceptance is not in what we do. Our acceptance is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and mansions is probably unhelpful. It just means there are many places of staying. There's plenty of room for all of God's children in heaven. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. At the end of the Gospel of John, there is this remarkable conversation. So if you turn with me to John chapter 21, Peter is challenged about his love. He says, do you love me? Three times the Lord Jesus Christ says to Peter on that beach, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lamb. He saith unto him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Peter's confidence is not in himself. Peter's confidence is in what the Lord knows about him. Thou knowest that I love thee. Peter said, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, the Lord finishes his conversation by repeating to Peter the very first words that he ever said to him by the Sea of Galilee, you follow me, you follow me. And when Peter turned and looked at John, the Lord Jesus Christ said, That's none of your business. That's none of your business looking around at what other people are doing. You just follow me. You look to me. Believe. Believe and be comforted. Fallen sinners, believe and be comforted. I've done the work. It's all been done. It's all finished. Everything that you owe God has been paid for. Everything that you owe God is paid in full. I cried out from the cross, it is finished. It is finished. We're just left with love and a command to fix our eyes and just to simply follow him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that we would heed, hear and heed and love the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we, in the midst of our troubled hearts in so many things, Heavenly Father, our Lord continues to say to us today, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm done. I've done all the work. I've gone away and I'm on the way back. And I'm going to come and I'm going to gather you to myself. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that we would be found simply resting and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the trials come, Heavenly Father, that shake to the very core of our being any pride that we have in ourselves, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's come to heal the brokenhearted. He's come to give sight of who he is to the blind yet again. And Father, we pray that we would be drawn again and again to look upon your Son on the cross of Calvary and the glories of what he did there, but also, Heavenly Father, see him seated, reigning and ruling from heaven and coming back to gather all of his bride to himself. Cause us to be part of that number, Heavenly Father. Cause us just simply to believe like a child, to rest all of the hope of all of our salvation in who he is and what he has done for your glory, Heavenly Father, that your Son might be seen and highly esteemed in us and amongst us. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory.